celle-là, non? Et mango. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about believing in prayer. Believing in prayer. Of course, you can realize that when we're studying a book, especially a book like Luke, we realize that we can put it under different categories. There are different ways. There's no one right way of it. You can actually study the book of, according to Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, in, you know, chapter by chapter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Probably most people would do it that way. You can do it another way, whereby you can actually do it by categories. Right. So today we're going to talk about believing in prayer. Believing in prayer. Actually, we realize that Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 tells us why Jesus prayed, isn't it? Yeah? Because he had godly fear. He didn't want to die, as it were. Okay? Didn't want to sin. Didn't want to disobey. Okay? Because he loved the Father. So basically, when we say this, then we can actually see prayer as a love connection between us and God, isn't it true? A love connection between us and God. Because Jesus, being the Son, loved the Father, and the Father loved him, so there was a love connection. Prayer was the expression of love and the receiving of love, isn't it true? Yeah? And that's something that we need to understand. Why is it sometimes some people have like a connection with God? Of course, obviously, they open their hearts to God. But they open their hearts up to God until they have this connection. Do you know, when I was a younger man or boy, I always felt that, I don't know why, maybe it was my illness or whatever, but the first 20 minutes of the prayer was really difficult to concentrate, really. But then I said to myself, right, I'm going to endure it until I get into the 21st minute. It's really weird, right? And I said to this, right? And I saw to myself, maybe that's a thorn in my flesh. Do you get what I mean? Physically, I couldn't quite concentrate. So I prayed until I got to the point where my heart was settled and basically I had a connection with God and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I did in my young days. Try it, right? The reason why sometimes our faith drops down or our heart and connection with God is not so strong is we're not willing to wait for that connection. We want things to be quick, right? But I'm trying to explain to you and share with you, maybe you need to give a bit more time with God. Because it's worth it, isn't it? That love connection with God, it's worth it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you think about it, if you don't have that connection with God, then you'll be weaker, and then, you know, you won't be able to overcome temptation, you won't understand the Word of God more. So it's a win-win situation if you reach that that love connection in prayer. Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, let's look at verse 12. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2, let's read it carefully. 1, 2, 3, go. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So basically, when Jesus was praying, it's because he was what? Vigilant. Vigilant translates to be, he was alert. Do you know, this morning, do you remember the prayer? The butterfly prayer? That was the one I was asking you to remember. Right? Basically, what happens is when you close your eyes, right, when you close your eyes, you're a little bit more concentrated, isn't it? The things of the world just die out, and then you have this focus, and then towards God. And that's what you're aiming for. And if you want to come out of that, you know, that fake light thing, then close your eyes, and then let your heart be led to where you should be. Okay? And I thought that was a really good message. I think it should be written up as an article. Anyway, so basically what it is that, you know, when you close your eyes in prayer, you actually can feel what's going on in your heart, isn't it true? How many of you experienced that? When you close your eyes in prayer, you're actually really alert to what actually is going through your mind and your heart, what things are coming out of your heart. You say, whoa, what is that coming out of my heart? Yeah? Because when you close your eyes, you can concentrate, you can shut out the world, distractions. It's just a fantastic thing. So that is why Jesus prayed, because he remained vigilant. Okay, let's go into the prayers. Now, can anyone tell me one of the first the ways that Jesus prayed? What's the first moment that Jesus prayed? It was caused in his baptism, isn't it? So let's turn to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, let's look at verse 21. I love this passage because it's nice and short, but it also is really moving. Right, it says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was open. What a glorious moment, isn't it true? Do you remember who else in the Bible, the heavens also was opened? Anybody? Heaven was opened. Eh? Stephen, isn't it? And that's the time when he was what happened? When did it happen? When did the heavens open for Stephen? Anybody? When did the heavens open for Stephen? When everybody was stoning him. Well, let's turn to the Bible to make sure that is so true. Right? Let's turn to it to make sure that is so true. Let's turn to the book of Acts, yeah? Acts chapter 7, let's look at verse, if you look at verse 55, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven first, right? Saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand, okay? And then in verse 56, and said, look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Okay, so when we look at that particular passage, it shows that when Stephen was prepared to die for Jesus, heaven was open for him, isn't it true? Can you see that? Right? So when we come back to Luke chapter 3, verse 21, when Jesus prayed, what happened? When Jesus prayed, the heaven was opened, right? So what kind of prayer did Jesus offer? What kind of prayer did Jesus offer? Because in verse 22, it says, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. What kind of prayer do you think that Jesus offered? Yeah? What kind of prayer? My life is yours. Isn't it true? Yeah? I will do your bidding. I will do as you command me. I will honor you, I will glorify you. Of course, there are many things that we could guess what Jesus prayed, isn't it? So when you put the two prayers together, when you took the two bits of heavens opened, we realize that we can make a sort of a connection, what kind of prayer Jesus offered. Isn't it true? Brothers and sisters, if you want the heavens to be opened for you, then why don't you offer that kind of prayer? A prayer where you say to God, my life belongs to you, no longer to myself. I want to fulfill your dream rather than you fulfill my dream. And then you will find it that the heaven will be open for you. Isn't it true? Yeah? So, okay, let's give another offshoot. Do you remember this passage, right? Usually people will say that you see here, he is Trinity. Look at the Holy Spirit and then the Father speaking and then their Son. Is this the thing about Trinity? Well, if John chapter 1 didn't exist, maybe you could guess it's about Trinity, right? But if the Bible already explains why this is recorded, then we need to take the biblical explanation why this happened, why Jesus prayed, and then the Holy Spirit came down, there's a voice, and there the Son, okay? Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 29 to 34. Okay? John chapter 1 verse 29 to 34 talks about when Jesus, when John saw Jesus, and then he began to bear witness. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Verse 30. And then John actually explains what he said before. He says, "After me comes a man who is preferred before me." This is who I was talking about. I said, "After me comes a man who is preferred before me, and he was before me." Right? And in verse 31, John explains, "Actually, I didn't know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." That's the reason I came baptizing. Right, okay, I baptized people because I told them to repent. That was one thing, okay? But another purpose of why I baptized John, I'm speaking like John now, right? Why I was baptizing was so that the Messiah will be revealed to Israel. And verse 32, John explains, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he," the Father, "who sent me to baptize with water said to me," okay? So this was part of John's commission. And God said to him, God said to John, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 34, John concludes and re-emphasizes this, "I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God." Is that clear? Yeah? So rather than say, oh, you know, 1, 2, 3, Trinity, but actually, it's actually, the purpose of the vision was to tell people, to tell John, that this is the Son of God. This is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? Okay? And that is the way I usually come to argue with the people who to turn to these verses. Oh, Jesus baptized Trinity, so therefore, I use John chapter 1 to explain it. Is that okay? Is that clear? Okay? Okay, let's come to the next prayer. Let's turn to Luke, right? Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Now, Luke chapter 5, we've already turned to it this morning, isn't it? Because it talks about Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Okay? Do you know when you study the Bible, you need to take out the various components? 1, often. 2, withdrew. 3, wilderness. 4, pray. And then when you put these things together, you realize that something is quite interesting. Often means what? He didn't do it rarely. He did it quite frequently. Okay? And withdrew means what? Withdrew means that he was part of the crowd and then came outside of the crowd. Right? Withdrew himself means he was busy and then he let himself not be busy. Amongst people, by himself. Is that just I mean? Withdrawing, okay? How about wilderness? Well, wilderness, if you compare wilderness and town or city or village, is where lots of people were. Wilderness is usually where people not really gathered. Do you know what I mean? So wilderness symbolizes a place by yourself, isn't it? A bit of isolation is quite nice, isn't it? Okay? And prayer was the activity. Right? So why did Jesus... Why is it good to withdraw sometimes? Why is it good to withdraw? I think you can see that many rich people or well-to-do people, actually even people who are not wealthy at all, they don't earn a lot of things, a lot of money, but what do? They actually know how to withdraw themselves, isn't it? Yeah? This time when I went back to Taiwan for a holiday, the family, my wife's side of the family and me and my family, we went up into the mountain. I was like, wow, that's a Tao Shan. 投山,不是投山,投子的山,投山. Have you heard of it? It's really nice, send you the link. Yeah, it's really nice, really quiet. out, no busy, but just the natural world, you know, just the natural nature, the mountains, the trees. Wow, it was nice weather as well. Really peaceful. Do you need that? You need that. Sometimes you need to give yourself some quiet time. One of the sisters in Newcastle actually took me to a walk in the park, out of the hustle and bustle of nature. But actually, it doesn't hustle and bustle of the town, I mean. So does that mean we all need to do this physical thing? Actually, it's withdrawn into our inner wilderness, isn't it? Some me time. Actually, all of us have a part of our lives where there is a place where we can be with God. Isn't it true? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Jesus says, when you pray, enter into the... Huh? Indoor. Is it upper room? Oh, I didn't read that Bible verse. Upper room? What are you talking about? Let's turn to... Upper room is Acts, I think. Right? Not everyone's that rich going to the upper room of a heart. Don't have the upper room, I don't think. Okay. Anyway, let's turn to Matthew chapter... chapter 6, yeah? Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. So Matthew 6, 6. Ready, steady, go. But you, when you pray... don't be by myself. 1, 2, 3. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the... we have a secret place with the Father. Yeah. Secret place. Yeah, of course, when Jesus says, shut your door, means shut your door to the outside world, isn't it? Yeah, you need a bit of me time, you know? You need a bit of me time. 中文有这种说法吗? 英文也有, me time. Have you heard of me time, the concept? You haven't heard of it? Me time, we need some me time. Mothers usually say that, I need some me time. Right, because the husband needs me. Children need me, my work needs me. I need some me time where it's just me and me. Me time. Huh? 自己的时间嘛, huh? So I think it's a very good time to learn. Do you know, and specifically when you paint it in the background of Jesus, he was serving, isn't it? He was serving and he was saving. Yeah, he was busy saving, busy serving. So much more the need to withdraw yourself when you're serving God. Isn't it true? Okay? For some of you who started to serve God, I hope that you learn to withdraw yourself. Not to say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. But amongst the busyness, you need to withdraw yourself. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Let's look at verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. What does it say? Where did he pray? Here it talks about mountain. Bible study. Where did he pray? Up the mountain? On the mountain? By the side of the mountain? Under the mountain? Hey? To the mountain. Okay? So it doesn't necessarily say which part of the mountain he was on, isn't it? It could be at the foot of the mountain. It could be in the middle of the mountain. Top of the mountain. It doesn't say. Hey? Does it say top? Why do you say top? Verse 17. Now, could please read then. Oh, very good. Is he at the foot of the mountain or the top of the mountain? Was he at the top of the mountain? Does it tell you the top of the mountain? He came down, but does it mean he came down, meaning he was at the top? That's why he came down? Isn't this really true? So I'm just being fussy, just to get you guys to say. Yes, I know, but up here... Here is up. How much up is it? Does it say? It doesn't say. Is it? It doesn't say. Okay? Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I'm just training you guys just to be a bit more specific. Yeah? Yeah, I know, but coming down doesn't mean the top, my dear. Do you know what I mean? Above ground level. Oh, above ground level. Above sea level. Oh. Okay? Is that cool? Right, no controversy. Right. So, but the thing that is highlighted is not the mountain, is that he continued all night, isn't it? All night in prayer. All night in prayer. Why do you think Jesus continued all night in prayer according to the context? Anybody? Why did Jesus continue all night in prayer? Exactly. He had to choose the disciples, and one of them was to be a become a traitor, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Okay, but that's not the only thing. Do you think that was the only reason why Jesus continued all night in prayer, because one of them is going to be a traitor? No. Actually, if you think about it, I think this Jesus sets a very good example, isn't it? Jesus sets a very good example. Today, if we are an RE teacher, okay, if we are an RE teacher, or we are a youth leader, okay, youth leader, we have a group of people whom we need to disciple, okay. Do we need to pray? Do we need to pray? No. Do we need to pray? Do we need to pray for them? We do, isn't it? Why? Because since you are the teacher, then you need to lead them through time, isn't it true? Yeah? Think about it. If you have about, let's say, 5 to 10 people, okay? Everyone is different. Some people grow slowly, yeah? Some people need lifting up. Some people's spiritual level is here. Some people's spiritual level may be here. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So everyone's different. So therefore, when you are given the responsibility to pass the baton to people, don't just, I'll say, okay, here is your turn to do the work. Do you get what I mean? Yeah? One of the mistakes I did when I was a choir leader, right? I just passed it on to people. Actually, afterwards, she told me, you know, when you just left and you just passed it to me, I didn't even know what to do. Do you know what I mean? I left her in the lurch, and that was my immaturity. Okay, I realized that actually I should have, after I learned a bit more of the Word of God, I should have not only handed over the responsibility better, but I also need to realize myself. I also went through a lot as a teacher. Do you get what I mean? As a choir teacher, and so therefore I should have prayed for her. Do you know what I mean? At least I should have prayed for her. And that's something I didn't do. You get what I mean? Yeah? Because you realize that when you are trying to encourage other people to do the work of God, you really need to pray for them seriously. Isn't it true? Why? Because Jesus prayed for the disciples, isn't it? Why? Because we realize that Peter, he was going to be weak, isn't it? And then what did Satan do? What did Satan want to do? Satan asked Jesus for Peter, isn't it? Do you get what I mean? But then Jesus says, I have prayed for you, Peter. Isn't it true? So that is why we need to pray, like a, not necessarily all-nighter, but be serious about praying, especially when we have been given the responsibility to lead and to encourage other people. Okay? It's really important. So we find it that Paul himself, if you look at Ephesians or Philippians, the two letters that we're going to study next year, if you come back, is that Paul always prayed for the believers. He prayed for the believers, right? Why he prayed for the believers? Because there were certain times, right, that the believers would become weak, right? There are certain things that Paul himself could not do. Only God can do. Do you get what I mean? Now, Paul was not always with them. They are going to be by themselves. And so therefore, Paul prayed for them, and God looked after them and blessed them and preserved them. You get what I mean? Yeah? So we realize that Jesus sets a really good example. He withdrew into the wilderness, went to the mountain, and continued all night in prayer to God. And that's in relationship when he was choosing his disciples to be apostles, to be people who are given more responsibility. Is that all right? Okay, let's go to another one. A similar recording is in Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke chapter 9, let's look at verse 18. Now, verse 18, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. Isn't it true? So we can see here that Jesus, you know, he prayed alone. Then his disciples joined him. He asked him, who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah. Others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. So when you read through this particular, actually, did everyone believe that Jesus is the Son of God? No, isn't it? Okay? Can I ask you another question? Did actually the disciples, all of the disciples, believe who Jesus was? Really? Dun, 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 dun. Let's turn to Matthew. Because Matthew tells us something really, 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 really strange. Okay, let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I think it's 28, yes, Matthew chapter 28 verse 17, Matthew chapter 28 verse 17, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Woo-hoo. Do you get what I mean? Maybe you say, oh, some doubted whether this is actually Jesus. Do you get what I mean? But that does give a bit of a hint that some of the disciples' faith, they were not so clear about Jesus. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Right? So that means that some of the disciples treated Jesus not to be the spiritual Messiah, but also, well, a worldly king, isn't it? Yeah? Okay? A worldly king. So I think it's actually quite good, because when we realize it, right, even when people did not fully comprehend who he was, okay, we realize that Jesus spent a lot of time praying, okay, praying even alone, okay, even the disciples may be weak, he spent a lot of time praying, okay. So this is a good teaching, why? Because today, brothers and sisters, if you really want to serve God, right, if you really want to serve God, first and foremost, your trust must be in the Heavenly Father that sent you. Yeah? Sometimes, if people may not be cooperating or investing as much effort as you, you may begin to wiggle. Isn't it true? You may begin to be less serious, or maybe you may begin to doubt. Right? But Jesus himself knew who he was, and he spent a lot of time in prayer to the Heavenly Father who sent him to do this work. And so in the same way, we also need to do that. Prayer reaffirms who we are. Prayer reaffirms that the Father sent us to do the work. Okay, especially in the church, there are people who don't have the same heart yet. Okay, who don't recognize the importance of the work yet. So therefore, we need to stand strong and be steadfast in our mission. And Jesus himself withdrew himself often in order to do this. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, let's look at verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Verse 28, what does this say? Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Verse 28, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he prayed the period, verse 28. Now it came to pass after about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, the robe became white and glistening. Anyway, we've already mentioned verse 29. So here we can see that Jesus spent time to pray with who? The disciples, isn't it? And amazingly, we've mentioned this before, he actually prayed with Peter, James, and John. Okay? So what does this mean? Now, what does this mean? It means that when Jesus was training, okay, Jesus was training the disciples, he would get them to pray with him. Yeah? Just like your TLs get you guys to pray with them. Isn't it? Okay? I think it is good if all of you take on this responsibility, right? Get other people to join you in prayer. Can I share a little testimony with you? When I was in my teens, after the spiritual convocation, I found that when I prayed by myself, right, when I prayed by myself, I was not as strong, okay? But then I learned to pray by myself. But then there was a brother who was, I asked him, how was your faith? He says, weak. Would you like, and I asked him, would you like me to pray with you? He says, yes, because our house was really near. It was only like 3 minutes up the road. And so we made that regular thing to pray together. Right? Went and prayed together, two of us in his house. I would go up to his house. Sometimes he would come down to my house and we'd pray. That was sweet, you know. That was really sweet. And the thing is that when we prayed, okay, when we prayed, we had experiences. Do you know what I mean? And that's something really, really important. Of course, some women may say, oh, you know, we don't have people in our church. You know, we're a very small church, right? But I'll say this to you. I think it was, who's that girl? Diana's sister, Debbie. Debbie, where's Debbie? She's in year 3 or 4. Okay. Yeah? Yeah? She offered a sharing, okay? She offered a sharing where she was here. And other people, the brother was praying together in her house or something like that. And then there was another group of people praying in this house. And so they felt that when they were praying here, they heard these people's voices. Do you get what I mean? Isn't that cool? I think it's really cool. Because I think what Jesus wanted to tell them, when you are praying together in the Spirit, you are with me in one place. You get what I mean? Yeah, that is really comforting. So therefore, we really shouldn't feel alone. I think we feel alone is because we don't join together to Jesus. Because when you're joined to Jesus, you're in together in the Spirit, isn't it true? It just depends whether you believe or not. If you don't believe, then of course, you know, it's just one of these things, isn't it? Yeah. So come back to be a simple-minded person. When you are with Jesus, there are other disciples gathered there. We are praying together to him. Amen? Yeah? So I think this is something that we need to get our minds around. We're never alone, because where Jesus is and where his disciples are, that's where we are together with him. Amen? So I really hope that some of you, if not all of you, would be able to have this kind of understanding. Go up the mountain. Now, that is up the mountain. Go up the mountain. Went up on the mountain. Does it say the top? It doesn't say the top, but it went up the mountain. Okay? Sometimes it's actually quite good illustration. Why? Because, do you know, as I said just now, right? Do you remember when Moses, right? Moses, did he have to go up the mountain? He did, isn't it? So the people were gathered at the bottom, isn't it? At the bottom. And then there was who? Who was in the middle of the mountain? Taiwan people. Elders, the Taiwan and Americans, right? Okay, so hey, UK, where are you? Come on, sorry, not USA, sorry, what am I doing? See, you UK people, look what you did to me. How many elders? 70. 70. Okay, so and then Moses went up, isn't it? And there's the cloud. Cloud, and then Moses went here, and then he went up into the cloud, isn't it? It's beautiful. So what I'm trying to explain to you, you know, we go up to the mountain. Yeah, go up to the mountain, right? That's what I said to you. That sometimes I felt that, you know, between 15 and 20 minutes, maybe I'm a lot slower, but you guys, you go to God. I was a lot slower, you know what I mean? But I endured. It's like climbing the mountain, isn't it? Well, climbing up the mountain is like getting your flesh to stop struggling with you, and then you keep on going, and then you pass a turning point where you can, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything, you're there with God. You get what I mean? Yeah. So I believe that kind of illustration is quite good. You just got to get through that turning point and then endure, so that your heart and soul is with God in prayer. Amen. I hope that serves as a really good encouragement to when you pray. So during the YTTC, we pray quite a lot, isn't it? Right? Do you know what I mean? We pray in the morning for half an hour, and then in the YTTC, half an hour as well. Do you know what I mean? Some of you pray extra as well. So when you pray, you know, it's a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle. I believe YTTC is a really good training ground. Why? Because when you're tired, right? And that's the time when you ask the question, am I going to let my tiredness zone me out in my relationship with God? When I'm busy, I've got lots of assignments. Do you know what I mean? This is real life, actually, isn't it true? It's real life. It's like, all right, I've got ASF, man. Oh, time to relax. Oh, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Can you see what I mean? It helps you think, well, what should I be doing? What could I be doing? Do you know what I mean? It's easy just to let go, and then, do you know what I mean? Yeah? It's choosing, and that's a very good thing. So during YTTC, we can be really busy, but sometimes we have relaxed. Sometimes we need to think about, what can I do? Yeah? Going to urge ourselves and dig deep. You remember yesterday I said dig deep? You really need to dig deep in terms of your spirituality. No one else can dig deep for you, okay? Yeah? Imagine this. You tell your friends to pray for you, and then you go, oh, life is so good. Oh, people pray for me. Oh, I don't need to do anything. Oh, okay. Do you know what I mean? That's sad, isn't it? Yeah? If you're weak, then pray together with the friends that are praying for you. Don't get people just to pray for you. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 22, I beg your pardon, can't read. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. Luke chapter 22, 31 to 34. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Verse 33. And he said to them, but said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me. Okay, so here we can see that Jesus predicts, okay, or prophesies about what Peter would do. Peter would deny him. Okay, so basically, does actually Simon, who is Peter, right? Did he know his spirituality? Did he know his spiritual state? Did he know his spiritual state? Yeah. Did you know his spiritual state? Do you know when Jesus says, right? Satan, right? Satan wants to sift you. What's a sift? Huh? To separate. Okay? But sifting is like sifting flour, isn't it? Right? So then things, right? So basically, why was it that Satan wanted to sift him? Why did Satan want to sift him? Sorry? Why do Satan want to sift him? You put flour and he sifts, 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 sifts. Why? If Peter's faith was really small, would Satan be able to sift him? Yeah. It would be, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Right? But he believed his faith was so strong, isn't it true? He believed his faith was so strong, so definitely he will not deny him. Do you get what I mean? But in reality, his faith was covered with emotions, isn't it true? Covered with feelings. Yeah? He didn't have a really clear insight into himself. Yeah? So sometimes when we're after YTTC and stuff like that, I hope that you will understand that the feelings... it's good, right? But you need to make sure that your faith is intact and it doesn't shrink. Otherwise, the world will sift you out. Yeah? Do You know, when you go through the yo-yo thingy, you will realize it's because maybe our faith is not as solid as we thought it would be. You get what I mean? Yeah? Remember what I said yesterday? Yeah, don't call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say, isn't it? Right? So I think it's really important. I think one of the things in order to establish our faith is to do what? Do the what? Basics. Yeah? Of prayer and Bible searching. Okay? I wouldn't say Bible reading, because when you read the Bible, it's like read it and then it's done it. Do you know what I mean? But when you're seeking, searching for God to feed your soul and to make a connection with God, and prayer is the same thing, then you find that when you're doing things with the whole heart, then your faith will be really different. It will get to a different level. Yeah? Okay, so don't let Satan sift you out. Okay? Now, the thing is this particular thing that Jesus prayed for Peter, the reason why we are kept in the church right now, is it because of our own stamina? Is it because of our own personal effort? Obviously, in John chapter 17, it tells us that Jesus has already interceded for us. Isn't it true? Yeah, let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, let us look at verse 20. John chapter 17, verse 20. 15 and verse 20. John chapter 17, 15 and verse 20. Verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Let's look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Isn't it true? So therefore, Jesus has been interceding for us. That is why we are kept in the faith. Okay? That's why we are kept in the faith. But since we know that Jesus kept us in the faith through his prayer, we also need to pray for ourselves. Isn't it true? Yeah? We also need to pray for ourselves. Right? So that we will not be sifted by Satan and then disappear. Okay? Is that alright? Okay? So we can see here that why is it so important we realize that it is Jesus that interceded for us. That's why we are still here. But we also need to join in Jesus' efforts in praying to him to preserve our soul, because sometimes we don't know ourselves. We need to know our vulnerability, and we need to know that actually Satan is accusing and also trying to trap us and to fall away from God and into this world. Okay. So I hope that everyone would pay attention to this. So if we look at this overall thing, right? This is the first part, right? So this is what? Believing in prayer. And basically what we've done just now, the first lesson is what? Jesus' life of prayer. Yeah? Talked about his baptism prayer. And then what? Withdrawing. Okay? Continued all-nighter. Okay. Alone. Me time. With three of his disciples. Four disciples, isn't it? Okay. So that is the first part of our discussion about believing in prayer by following Jesus' example. Amen? Let's have a silent prayer. Amen. Let's rest for 10 minutes.